Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Guys hit me up like, damn, Dukes. Mike went all Mike Wallace on Steve Coonan. So tell me exactly what the power structure is with Nick Wrestler and what's his job.
Hey, there were articles that were written by real accredited, not somebody in some mom's basement that came out. It was about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
That came out that said there was dysfunction in the Hawks organization and that Wrestler's son was involved. And
who is your daddy and what does he do?
You know, and you know, apparently Steve's got a good relationship. I never met Nick personally. I don't
we
know.
We haven't heard anything this year about that.
And you think that's a coinkadink?
No.
Exactly, because the perception was it was, oh, look at this.
Yeah.
You know, nepotism running amok, and maybe this guy's not qualified. Either way, Steve says he does a good job.
All right, if you missed our interview with Steve Coonan, Hawks doing their exit interviews, moral miss coming up as part of our strong arm story of the day. We'll mention this getting into the 6 o'clock hour, or the most important story, should I say. We'll talk some more draft with Sam Munson coming up, and we'll go around the yard with Grant McCauley this hour. Here's what I don't want as this stuff is starting to percolate. I don't want us, I'm talking about our Falcons, drafting a quarterback in the first round, okay, or even early in this draft when we're drafting a practice quarterback. That is what you'd be doing. And there are mock drafts out there, Mike, and we have to address this, that have us taking a quarterback early, whether it's Michael Penix or maybe in the first two rounds. And I just have to tell you guys, it would be the most idiotic thing ever for us to do something like this. If you feel like with the money we've spent to go get Kirk Cousins, the money you spent in a backup quarterback, okay, that's still with this team, this is the last thing we should be thinking about instead of, Mike, adding pieces to make this team better. We're talking about a practice quarterback?
Yeah, I don't understand where this is coming from. Now, the vision I think that most of the guys and ladies in their cars right now that are Falcon fans is we've got a window, a very precise window. You went and got the best quarterback. Carl just laid it out. You spent big money to do it. To go win now. And you win now by improving your roster every area that needs improvement. And you do that if you can't do it through free agency in the draft. So now that means, and I always go back to the 2016 where we did that. You found three starters: Devondre Campbell, Keanu Neal, Debo. You know, and then Brian Poole was undrafted. I'm strictly on the defense. Austin Hooper came later, obviously, as a tight end in that draft, too. But you've got to go get the most impactful players. Quarterback is not a big need. Yes, if, heaven forbid, something happened to Kirk Cousins, we're going to be kind of dead in the water with the Heineke. Because unless Zach Robinson can maximize
his
skill set and Arthur could not. But no, the only way I take a quarterback would be somebody like in the fourth or fifth round. Like
fourth?
A fifth rounder.
Fifth?
Jordan Travis. How about Joe Milton from Tennessee?
Late.
Yeah, but I'm not even going in the third round. I know guys are like, well, we looked at Spencer Rattler.
No.
Who cares?
No.
No. And the Michael Penix thing, I like Michael Penix, but just not for us. You know, I wanted Jaden Daniels. We can't get there. No quarterback this draft unless it's a flyer in the fifth or sixth round, period.
All right, 404-726-0929. Listen, sometimes this stuff percolates and people buy into it. I do not. But we have to address it because some of you will go into next week and be like, yeah, maybe we're going to go quarterback. For what?
No, because people see this. Now, D-Led had one of the mock, his latest mock, he finishes with Latu.
I'm sorry? Did you say Latu?
I said Latu.
Latu.
Did I stutter? Thanks, D. No, but people have seen this, and there's been reports that, like, look, there's – and if they are, it makes no sense.
It makes zero sense.
Jordan Travis coming off a knee injury can watch, learn, and maybe you get traction with him,
yes,
or maybe
you
don't. But you don't invest a top pick in a quarterback.
Not when he's going to sit around like and be your practice quarterback.
Right. I mean, the only way – now, some guys – again, most guys who didn't like the Kirk Cousins sign, we go, well, this guy's one tech. Well, so is Aaron Rodgers, okay? The Jets don't exactly – you tell me the Jets are going to go draft a quarterback?
No.
Exactly. There's no reason to.
No.
They've got a 1 year, maybe two max for their team to go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. It just – this is something that's irking me, and I'm like, what are we talking about here? We've been telling you guys all along, here are the positions of need. This is what we should be investing in. I don't care how it shakes out. This is where we should be living. Not thinking about, well, 4 years from now, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be there when we get there. Like, I don't buy this. So if you are somebody that believes that to be the case, all I can tell you is that is not the answer. Okay? Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on in the world of sports. We're going to hear from Sam Munson from PFF coming up as we had a great conversation with him about the edge rushers, the corners, all the positions, ironically, that we should be concerned with and that we should be talking about, not quarterback. Now, the only way that I'm going to talk about quarterback is if one of these top two guys potentially fall to us.
What are you talking about?
Well.
Whoa. What are you talking about?
Well, this is the scenario. This is like the craziest thing that could possibly happen. But we brought this up and we told you that the Commanders and Dan Quinn. Hi, Dan.
There is nothing I enjoy more than doing hard with good people.
They had all four quarterbacks in at once. This is not the norm. Okay.
No, and a couple of the guys' agents were really ticked off about this.
Well, specifically Jaden Daniels' agent. And when we talk about this, this is the scenario when I say this is the only way that I talk about a quarterback. And I say talk. I'd still be against it only because you've invested $100 million in to bring a guy in. But before this, Mike, they brought in J.J. McCarthy, not in this order. These are all the guys that were there. Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Michael Penix Jr. And literally brought them in on the same day and said, hey, how's everybody doing? And all these guys looked at each other and went, what's going on here? So the scenario for me is if Jaden Daniels
It's almost like going on a blind date and four girls show up.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And, Mike, I would have felt some kind of way because you've been saying, hey, we're bringing you in. And I go, okay, hey, I feel kind of special. I can't wait to talk to these guys. And then I get there and all my competition is there. Nevertheless, if he somehow slides and you say there's no way, Dukes, here's the scenario. What if they go Penix Jr., who is moving up the board on a lot of people's draft boards, and Mike, all of a sudden, it is Williams, it is Penix, and now Jaden Daniels is there, and the Patriots say, well, we're not taking him. And then all of a sudden, you get to 4 and 5 and potentially 6. We pick 8th.
Well, I just think that if Jaden Daniels ever got to 4, the Vikings, the Raiders, everybody would jump and give heaven and earth to get there.
That's
the
natural thing.
Or LA.
That's the natural thing. I'm just explaining how I would get to this quarterback conversation. At that point, we can have that conversation. Do I expect that to happen? No. Do I expect Jaden Daniels to still be the second overall pick? Yes, despite he might be upset at how this all played out. But that's the only way, Mike, is if we get to a spot where we are two picks away, and one of those guys is potentially available. And you're like, okay, we didn't expect it.
Yeah, the CBS guys, one guy named Jonathan Jones, has the Falcons taking him at 8th. And then Josh Edwards has them taking him in the second round at 43 if he did fall that far. I don't think Penix falls out of the first round, personally. But I just there's no point. Then you, if you have that many of a that many concerns that you're going to have a guy that you're going to have to pay first round money sit for 3 years behind Kirk Cousins,
terrible.
Then you should have signed Baker Mayfield and outbid the Bucks.
Yes.
If you're worried about the Achilles,
yes.
That's why these ideas make no sense to me. About as much sense as Dan Quinn saying, "All right, guys, we're going to put you in a chopper. We're going to drop all four of you naked in the woods in Northern Virginia, and whoever survives, we're going to draft you." It's Dan Quinn's Naked and Afraid Commander's Challenge. Then later, you'd have to learn to make fire and survive. Survive!
I don't get this, Mike, only because how can you, and by the way, how awkward is this? Hey, Jaden, your turn. Come on in. What is this? The rest of the guys are sitting there?
Right.
I mean, it's an awkward deal. And again, I don't know if that's how it played out.
Right.
But guys did not appreciate it.
As we said earlier, unless, you know, Jaden was like Will Smith in Men in Black, he's like, I'll show you how to do this. Give me that table.
Yeah.
I understand. I like some guys might say, I love it. Let's find who can handle the pressure of this situation, the alpha male. But Jaden Daniels was, the agent for Jaden Daniels is going, wait, my boy is perceived as number two. You devalue him by doing a cattle call with the other quarterbacks.
What's the pressure, though? When I'm trying to get to know whether this is an organization I want to truly be a part of, you're not giving me that opportunity with other people trying. You're taking up my time. The time, we're here so I can say, hey, you know what? I felt really good with the Commanders. I didn't feel good with the Jets or Chicago. I need to know that. Do you feel like you got that with other guys sitting there trying to go through the same process?
Quarterbacks, come on in here. Take a knee. These are the Navy SEALs. We're going to do some laser tag. Out in the woods. Whoever survives, you are the Commander's quarterback.
Coming up, Sam Munson. We had a great conversation with him, PFF. You want to know what he thinks about the edge rushers and more? You'll find out coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nine The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Right now, though, we want to talk more draft with our buddy Sam Munson from PFF. He is the lead NFL analyst. And, Sam, we appreciate you jumping on with us. Our conversation has started and is continuing to revolve around the edge rushers. We have been getting different opinions from folks around the country, and I want to get your take on these edge rushers, specifically Dallas Turner, and then this class as a whole, because everybody just has us penciled in with Dallas Turner, and I'm not necessarily sold on that.
Yeah, I think there's a big three when it comes to edge rushers in this draft. I think it's Dallas Turner, and he's most people's number one guy. But then I think you've got Jared Verse from Florida State and Laiatu Latu from UCLA. Latu, I think, is an interesting prospect because if you didn't have any medical issues whatsoever, if we just were looking at Latu and there was a completely clean medical history and all those kinds of things, I think he's clearly the best player of the three right now. He's significantly more productive than either of the other two guys. And if you look at PFF grade and pass rush win rate and pressure rate and all those kinds of things, he's got a college resume that stacks up with guys like the Bosa brothers and Myles Garrett and Chase Young as genuinely one of the best edge rushers we've seen come into the league in years. And the only sort of downside to him would be athleticism, which I think has been overstated. And actually his combine workouts were pretty good. And PFF has a metric, a data point called PFF GAS, which is tracking data. It's in-game athleticism. And Latu's in-game athleticism has been off the charts. It's been elite. He's one of the best athletes on the field when it matters, with the pads on, between the hashes. So I think Latu is a phenomenal edge rusher prospect, but the medicals will be a concern for some teams. And then you end up with this Dallas Turner versus Jared Verse conversation where, you know, Turner is a spectacular athlete and a pretty good pass rusher. Certainly not, he's not a Trayvon Walker or a Tyree Wilson in terms of a guy that's only projection and only athleticism. He's definitely been a good player as well, but there's more of a projection with him, I think, than there is with the other two.
And Sam Monson, guys, with us, NFL draft analyst. We're talking about, Jared. Is Jared Verse just so one-dimensional that's what makes him a guy that's only worth trading down for if you're the Falcons?
No, I think Verse is an interesting composite of the other two guys, where he's incredibly powerful. He's been productive at that, but he doesn't have the range of pass rush moves that a guy like Latu has. But the ones that he has, I think, have been more productive and more successful than, say, Dallas Turner. So I think there's an interesting kind of compromise player in Jared Verse between the other two guys. But I do think that his production and his profile means he should be in that discussion at the top half of the first round.
All right, so as we talk about positions and positions that are deep in this draft, we keep getting back to corners. Who's your top corner, and who do you project will be the top corner taken off the board first?
Yeah, I think corner is a very deep position in this class. Corner is an interesting spot, though, when you start talking about draft rankings, because it's going to be different depending on the team, depending on what defense you run, what your scheme is. I don't think, and this is true for a lot of positions, but corner maybe more than any other, I think you need to sort of quantify what the team is we're going to be talking about, because each team is going to have very different rankings. I really love Terrion Arnold from Alabama. I think he's got some of the most slick movement skills, man coverage ability, the capacity to mirror receivers of any corner to come along in years. I think his ability to do that is virtually unmatched, but teams that don't run man coverage a lot are not going to have Terrion Arnold necessarily at the top of their rankings, because other corners in this class, I think, are better in off coverage or better playing zone. But again, I feel like corner is a little bit like edge rusher in terms of a top tier and then a bit of a gap. Arnold would be one of them. I think Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo is definitely one of them as well. And then Nate Wiggins from Clemson would be the other guy I put into that list. I think all three of those guys are extremely good prospects and belong, you know, firmly at the top towards the top half of the first round.
Cooper DeJean is a guy whose name comes up, but either you love him or you feel that. I've seen some mock drafts where he goes in the top 15, others where he falls all the way down to like the Ravens at the end of the first round.
Yeah, he's got a really good profile. Like, he's been a productive college player. When he did get cleared medically a couple of weeks ago, he was able to go out there and put a good 40 time out there and good vertical and explosive measurables with the jumps as well. The only thing we didn't see from him was the change of direction stuff, the three cone, the short shuttle, that kind of thing. And as much as we have, you know, basketball highlights and that kind of thing, you do see a little bit of kind of stiffness in that change of direction from his college tape, certainly compared with a guy like Terrion Arnold. So I think that's part of the reason why you're hearing some teams or some people kind of speculate or wonder what position he plays at the next level. Like, does he really have that hip fluidity, the ability to completely change direction on a dime to be able to stay at the outside corner where he was obviously a really good player in college?
Why, in your opinion, do we see McCarthy continue to seemingly move up in this draft? When this thing first started, and I don't know where you have him, Sam, but you know, it was like, oh, he's the fifth or sixth best quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, you know, we're seeing this guy maybe being the third quarterback taken off the board. Why?
I think there's a few things working towards this. Number one, there was this narrative right away with McCarthy that the NFL likes this guy more than college football fans and or just, you know, the public or draft analysts or journalists or, you know, beat writers, whatever. The NFL was always higher on J.J. McCarthy, and that was reported sort of immediately and has been consistent all the way through the process. So part of this is those two things just bridging and meeting in the middle, right? Is everybody kind of catching up to where the NFL values this guy, the more information they hear. Number two, the NFL is not necessarily working on the same time scale as everybody else. So even though the college football fans were watching this guy play all the way through the season, coaches weren't. NFL coaches weren't necessarily tied into watching J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels and, you know, Michael Penix Jr. week after week. They get to these guys in depth in the last couple of months. They've only been doing their work now. So again, we're starting to sort of figure out what those guys believe much later in the process. And then I think the final thing is, you know, we have had more information post-draft. We've had these guys in for meetings with teams and they've, you know, been able to work them out. And there have been sort of new elements of information even post the college football season. So none of those things I think are giant needle movers on their own, but you start piecing them all together, I think that can move a guy's draft stock. So I think it's all of those things working in tandem, pushing him in one direction.
I've been doing all the PFF mocks, and again, your guys' analytics sometimes vary from some of the other websites we've seen out there. Talking with Sam Monson, guys, PFF lead NFL analyst. One thing we do is take the best athlete. What if, for argument's sake, Alt is there from Notre Dame? We could maybe use him as a tackle. Do you see him as a generational guy or just the best of the offensive linemen because some of the opinions vary on him?
Yeah, I don't think he's necessarily a truly generational offensive tackle. Obviously, from a size and athleticism standpoint, he's pretty top tier. I mean, we're talking about a mammoth human being, 6'9", and this almost too big. You know, definitely a prototypical sized offensive tackle. He's really good in the run game. He's the most well-rounded of these offensive tackle prospects. And depending on what it is you're sort of focusing on, I think he could be absolutely your number one guy. But yeah, I don't think he's a really generational offensive tackle prospect and a guy that, you know, doesn't come along that often that you have to go and prioritize him as your top pick.
We keep playing the scenario out. Sam Monson, our guest, guys, PFF lead NFL analyst here on Dukes and Bell, as we talk about the upcoming NFL draft, that if a receiver is there, depending on how these quarterbacks go in the first three or four picks or whatever, that the Falcons could pick one of these guys. And I keep saying, and Sam, tell me I'm wrong, like if it's, you know, Malik Nabers, I don't think you can pass that up. Certainly you're not passing up Marvin Harrison if he slides. I mean, so I keep saying, I don't care what the need is. If one of those guys is there, I think the Falcons have to take him.
There's definitely an argument to be made. I mean, those three guys, I think, are, number one, they're in a tier by themselves. I think there's a big gap between those three and whoever you think wide receiver four is. For most people, that's Brian Thomas Jr. You know, other people are going to have different fourth wide receivers, but there's a big gap between those first three guys and the fourth guy in this draft class. And I think any of the three would be the top wide receiver in most drafts. You know, this year, they're just all coming into the draft at the same time. But Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, either one of those guys would be the top wide receiver in almost any given draft class. So, yeah, I think there's absolutely a case to be made that if you're sitting there at eight where Atlanta is, or if he makes it past Atlanta, you know, those are elite prospects that could be the best player in the draft sitting there at the bottom of the top 10. And that's incredible value to turn down. On the other hand, this is an incredible wide receiver draft class, and the depth is ridiculous in the second and the third rounds, and that's not true for a lot of other positions. So, you know, edge rusher, for example, like we talked about the big three, and then I think there is a significant gap, and the edge rusher position just doesn't have the depth that the receiver class has this year. So if you're one of these teams that, you know, has a need and is looking at it and saying, well, yeah, but we can come back in the second or the third round and address that spot, it's easier to do that with receiver than it is some of these other positions. So I think it's definitely a fair argument to make that it's going to be tough to turn down a guy as good as Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers, but it's also going to be a lot easier to get 80% of that player in the second or the third round than it is at a different position.
Mm. Just real quick, because we've got Raheem Morris here. He was part of that Rams. We were kind of enamored with how they pulled the draft off last year because they went and found like some great picks in the third round with Byron Young and Kobe Turner. Did you guys think those guys would be that good in the third round?
I think they can be, yeah. This receiver class, I think, is – we say this every year. You know, it's the best receiver class to come along in years. And I think it keeps being true because of the college landscape and just the way the game is being played now all the way through high school and all the way through college. So, you know, wide receivers 4 through, like, 15 this year I think are really tightly bunched. You could get guys like, you know, Xavier Leggett, Tez Walker, you know, Jermaine Burton, if he didn't have the sort of red flags off the field, Roman Wilson. There's so many of these guys that might be available in the second or the third round, all of whom could walk onto an NFL field and be really productive right away. And that continues for, you know, a real extended depth throughout this draft. So I do think that you're going to be able to get, you know, like last year, Tank Dell, right? A third round draft pick, a guy that was able to come in and immediately make an impact to a team that looked pretty good in Houston. Obviously, Puka Nacua was a complete outlier in terms of a fifth-round guy that was basically a league-leading level of receiver. But I do think you're going to be able to find guys like Tank Dell this year throughout the second and the third round that can come in and make a real difference to teams' offenses.
Cool. Cannot wait. Sam, great work. Enjoy reading your stuff. And we appreciate you stopping by today. PFF lead NFL analyst. Thank you so much.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
We don't know where this thing's going to go, but I cannot wait until Thursday. It's Dukes and Bell coming up. Grant McCauley, the latest on Spencer Strider, and you don't want to miss it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley, the best baseball guy in the business. He covers the Braves and Major League Baseball for us. Grant, we got to start with what Spencer Strider said today.
Yep.
Mike and I were like, whoa, okay. So help me with this. This is good news, right? From what we now understand about this injury?
Well, I think Spencer Strider was very careful with how he explained it to say that it's not bad news, but it's not good news. It's just different than the discussion about Tommy John surgery. So being able to find what exactly was the issue and what had caused the damage to his UCL was a good thing. The fact that they found that the ligament itself was intact is also a good thing, but they still needed to go do a pretty invasive procedure to make sure that the structural integrity of that elbow will stay intact moving forward, and that's what the bracing procedure is for. So, you know, short answer, I wouldn't say that it's good news, but again, I also wouldn't, you know, categorize it as being as bad as it maybe could have been in terms of recovery time with Tommy John surgery.
Because I know everybody's got a pocket orthopedist theory. Oh, it was the sweeper. I think I asked you about that, you know, a few weeks ago. Lucas Giolito, you mentioned last week, Trevor Story have had this procedure. But the perception, at least from the fans, is he'll be back sooner with this as opposed to Tommy John.
Right. I mean, Tommy John carries with it that 14 to 16, sometimes 18 month recovery time. And for good reason. I mean, nobody wants to rush and, you know, create a, you know, a further issue when you've already had to spend essentially at least a year rehabbing that. But with this one, it could be the 9 to 12 month recovery, which gives him the opportunity to be ready sooner next season. That's something he is definitely, you know, excited about, if that's the right word, or looking forward to and anticipating, is being back sooner. And that's just, you know, any competitor wants to have that be the case. And you it's interesting, you brought up the curveball and adding a pitch, and the pitch clock came up, all these different things. And he said, you know, we could have a three-hour discussion about the contributing factors to the injuries happening across baseball. A lot of the conversation that's being had just in general is a little bit misguided, and I think that he's right about that. But as far as the curveball is concerned, no, that's not a pitch that caused any more stress on his elbow. If this was a splitter, and this is Spencer Strider's own words, if it was something that was going to create more stress on the elbow, that would be something you point at. But the curveball, really no difference whatsoever.
I thought it was interesting. He said they can win the World Series without me. I was like,
really? Yeah.
I get it. I mean, like, yes.
They
you
can.
I know. You right. believe in your team. Listen, we won without Ronald Acuna.
Crazy.
Right.
But this was a guy that we were counting on 300 strikeouts from.
Eating a lot of innings.
Yeah, I mean, in that postseason pitcher that he showed last year that he's capable of being. I mean, if the Braves had been able to hit in a couple of those starts, they could have advanced in that series and moved on, and who knows what happens after that. But, you know, it's a difficult thing, clearly, for Spencer Strider. It's also, you know, going to be hard on the team in terms of needing to find a way to overcome that loss, but that is kind of the way baseball has always worked, and you brought it up, and I think it'll always be the elephant in the room. I mean, the Braves won the World Series without arguably the best player in baseball and the best player that they've had in a long time. That's just how crazy this game is. So Spencer Strider says, I don't want them spending any time and energy, you know, being concerned with me. Moving forward, their focus needs to be on winning and going all the way and doing this thing regardless of who is or is not on the active roster.
Braves have a four-game win streak as the champions are here. The champ is here as the Rangers are in town. Grant McCauley with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. The lineup switch. Michael Harris goes down to seven to add a little bounce to the bottom of the lineup. And Orlando Arcia, who's been red hot, is batting second tonight. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that's a good opportunity for Orlando Arcia to kind of reward his hot start and the fact that they're able to stack a bunch of righties up there in a row outside of Matt Olson in the top of that order. It's really three righties and then Olson and then, you know, a couple of more righties before you get to Harris. And I think that just kind of makes sense. And you've got a couple of weeks to figure out kind of how you want to approach this lineup. I think that Harris is going to get a bunch of time up there as well, particularly against right-handed starters. But that's just a night to, you know, see what Orlando Arcia can do. And his series against Houston certainly showed that not only can he contribute, you know, as the everyday shortstop for this club, but he can come up with some big hits and drive in some big runs in important moments, because winning those last two games in Houston, Orlando Arcia was pivotal, like critical contributor to that.
What do you expect from Sale tonight? He's on the hill, 1-1, 4.5 ADRA, making his fourth start of the season.
Yeah, I know that he gave up the five runs the last time out, but I really felt like when you look at the line score of that start, it was not indicative of how well he pitched. Yeah, he didn't get a couple of calls, then he wasn't able to get the out that he needed to escape that bases loaded jam, and that's something that he'll take as much responsibility for as anything. But that seven-inning outing and over 100 pitches just kind of lets you know that this guy has built up and now appears to be kind of getting ready, I hope, to settle into what's going to be a very important role on this rotation or in this rotation to do the things that he's capable of doing, to give the Braves those innings to help save the bullpen and to give them one less question mark in rotation. And it's, you know, going to be important to continue to do that every fifth day, maybe more so than it was way back on opening day.
Grant McCauley's with us, guys, getting ready for the Rangers and the Braves. It's on Apple, so no one will get to watch it tonight. The Bryce Elder situation, I saw he pitched a few days ago in Gwinnett. What's his story?
Yeah, I think that they wanted to go ahead and get him back on the mound. And one of the things, and I talked about this a little bit earlier today on the morning show as well, but when you option a player down in spring training, they have to stay down for a certain amount of time at the start of the year, unless there's an injury. But if there's an injury and he's not available to come up and pitch, that could have been the reason why they kind of played this mix-and-match game with Allen Winans and then with Darius Vines, who did pitch pretty well against Houston, and will get another start on Sunday. But I think once you turn the page to that next week, you're probably going to start figuring out how you can incorporate Bryce Elder into the rotation. not because you expect him to come up and be an all-star again, but because I feel like he's the guy that has the most major league time and the ability to give them the consistency that they need in the rotation in that fifth spot.
Sale, by the way, 16 career appearances, 12 starts against the Rangers, 8-2 record, 2.4 ERA. Pretty good in his career. Now, every year is different. Yeah. This lineup we know is pretty good. Do you consider them to be a contender again, by the way, the Rangers?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but the big thing for them, like so many other teams in baseball, is they've got to get healthy. I mean, the Astros are going through it. The Rangers are going through it. They've got no DeGrom, no Scherzer right now. Jordan Montgomery did not come back. I thought that was maybe a move that they were going to make. So they're patchworking their rotation. They signed Michael Lorenzen at the very end of spring training. They brought up Jack Leiter last night or yesterday to make his major league debut. A big-time prospect, big-time arm. Not a big-time performance, though. So they're still just trying to figure the whole thing out. But this offense is legitimate and could get even better as the season goes along and they get Nate Lau back and they're able to just really kind of get things, I think, the way that they want them to be, offensively speaking. And you really can't look past a team that did the kind of things the Rangers did last year. They now know what it takes to win it, and I'm sure their expectations have changed as a result of that.
We were talking earlier, Grant, before we cut you loose, a guy that you never really hear a lot about. He's got 4 World Series rings. I know for his career, he is under 500, but the job that Bruce Bochy does.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a Hall of Fame manager, and I think if you're to talk to the people that play for him and people around the game, he's a Hall of Fame person, and that's really what seems to go hand in hand with a lot of these guys that stick around as long as they have and as long as he has, most certainly. I kind of thought maybe once he left the Giants, that might be it for him. But where's the motivation to go out and compete and go through that all again? And, you know, the answer to that question was, well, Texas had an opening. He saw that challenge, and then magically or otherwise, I mean, it takes some talent to do this. The Rangers won the World Series, and Bruce Bochy, obviously, a big part of that. So a Hall of Fame manager, and, you know, we get to see these guys every now and again continue on doing those special things in the later years of their career. I'm pretty sure Bruce Bochy would probably like to win another one before he hangs it up.
Grant, it's always good to talk with you. We'll see what they do against these Rangers. When are you on this weekend, by the way?
Yeah, I'll be on Sunday from 5 to 7 right here on 929 The Game with From the Diamond. You're going to hear from Spencer Strider. I've got a lot of audio from him to play on the show. We'll talk about the week that was for the Braves and, of course, everything else happening across Major League Baseball. You can hear it right here on 929 The Game, Sunday 5 to 7 and wherever you get your podcasts.
Great stuff. Grant McCauley, follow him, guys. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 929 The Game. We are going to let you hear from Trey Young. Exit interviews today. What did DJ say? And the Hawks make a hire. What did Steve Kunin have to say about that? It's all coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.